Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, before we start the show, let's talk about the after party. Every Friday, Kimberly Johnson and I record a fourth podcast each week, but this one is different from the usual Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows. The Friday After Party podcast is loaded with all the politics you want, while also including uncensored, completely obscene conversations about sex, drugs, movies, television, our personal lives, all the crap we can't get away with on the free show. So please help support this podcast by subscribing to our Friday After Party for just $10 per month, and you're also going to get two post-mortem shows every week included in that level of support. That's BobSeskaShow.com or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Simple. Trump shut his mouth off. You were the janitor. Chief of staff, they say you might just be it. Now with impeachment, you are dealing.
Hey, Kellyanne, you're so late now. We wish you'd go away. Hey, Kellyanne, you're so late now. You work for Double J.
We could not talk or talk forever and still find things to not talk about.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, some weird shit happening at the Conway's house, huh? From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, January 26, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 7 of the Biden-Harris administration, 651 days until the 2022 midterms, and sitting in once more for Buzz Burbank, here comes the great Rocky Mountain Mike. Yeah.
Mike.
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm okay now, but last week I was in rough shape, I want to tell you.
Yeah, what? You had like zero sleep before last week's show, right?
Yeah, that was my Rodney Dangerfield entrance. Oh, wow.
Okay.
So anyway, so Bob, it's time for the dad jokes. I'm okay now. I'm out on bail. I was fired from my job for setting fire to the place, but my lawyer thinks he can get me off with the defense that I am now a private citizen.
Goddamn the Supreme Court. Holy shit.
I had a burglary incident here the other night at the house, but the sheriff's office assured me it wasn't a real break-in. It was an attempt to make burglars look bad by Antifa. Thank you.
Blame them for everything.
Well, Dominion Voting Systems is suing Rudy Giuliani. They're seeking $1.3 Dominion. Thank you. Some of these Republican Congress people trying to bring arms to the floor seem to have spent too much time as a kid watching Have Gun, Will Gavel. Thank you. And with the new administration, the Pentagon has reassured everybody that they have officially changed the codes on the Diet Coke button.
The Bob Seska Show.
Thank you. I'm here all week. Enjoy the veal. Tip your waiter.
Treasury. And she is called Yellen. She'll be in charge of the economy, said fiscal policy. She's Secretary Yellen. She'll write her name on the money. She'll print some type of currency. The wife of former secretary. She said, get those puppies.
Yes, the former secretary's wife, you see.
That's right, I gotcha. Oh, the great you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Hey, thank you, my friend. Janet Yellen,
someone
the first.
Someone pointed out I finally did a song that was after 1970.
Hey, congratulations. Small moves. Okay. Well, holy shit. So much to talk about today. So much in the news. First of all, I should say, no Salon article again today from me. Those of you who are jonesing for whatever it is I do for Salon, I have no idea what's going on over there. Maybe it's Trump fatigue. I don't know what's going on. We'll
Did
see
you
what happens.
Your headshot and your reel?
That's right. I'm preparing my resume. Hey, listen, the fact that I'm not writing for Salon is a great excuse for you to sign up for our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, because holy shit, I've lost a stream of income here, I guess. I don't know. I swear to God, I have no idea. I may be back next Monday. I have no idea. Or next Tuesday, I should say. I write on Mondays and then publish on Tuesday. I have no idea what's going on.
Maybe they're desperately trying to get you on your landline or something. It's just a breakdown of communications.
This is what happens usually when there's a changeover to administration, certainly because of the holidays. We were touching up on this a little bit last week. When the holidays happen, traffic goes in the dumper. Because everyone's, you know, dealing with the holidays and dealing with family and trying to ignore all the horrible news. And so traffic always takes a little bit of a dip. But then it always comes back. But then when it's combined with a new incoming administration, especially a switchover like going from Donald Trump, which is his constant political content, to a competent administration, there is a changeover in tone that occurs, yeah, too, where people...
You need to write more, you know, diet articles.
Right. I need to come
maybe,
up with
maybe
something.
Maybe what happened is maybe the new editor is Glenn Greenwald or Matt Taibbi or something. Yeah, maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, you know, Glenn used to write for Salon like years and years and years ago. So I have no idea. But, oh, you know, along those lines, what the fuck is going on with the Conways? The Conways.
Keeping up with the Conways.
Yeah. See, now that's a great point, Mike, because I'm thinking this sounds like everything that's been going on with the Conways sounds like the setup for a reality show. It's we're getting our name back in the news here for being a chaotic family and all kinds of conflict and headbutting. And now I think what is turning out to be a pretty serious controversy. And that's like, that's all the kind of stuff that they thrive on over at the Bravo Network or wherever they do all of these crappy reality shows.
Oh, but, absolutely.
But I mean, I'm sure you've heard by now, I think the news broke overnight, where apparently Kellyanne Conway posted something on Twitter. And I'm not sure what exactly that new format on Twitter is called. It's sort of like Instagram stories, but it's not Instagram stories. It's like the Instagram stories knockoff. Oh, it's called fleets. They're called fleets, where you put up a thing and it only lasts for a 24-hour period, which is fine by Twitter, but putting in an edit button, that's completely, oh no, you know, people are going to take advantage of that and scam other people with their edits and so on. Well, if you're posting in a format that only lasts for 24 hours, you know, that leaves a lot to be considered in terms of accountability. But I'm getting off on a tangent here, Mike, because...
You know, speaking of tangents, I think with her, you know, problems securing a mate, that Stephanie Miller is going to start Spinstagram.
There you go. One more for you.
So I didn't know about that. I did not know. This is all news to me, so I guess I'm, you know, catching up. But, you know, the press room Barbie has just announced that she's going to Fox News.
Oh, yes, so yes,
big,
yeah.
Big, I wanna big surprise there.
I want to get to that.
That's what the deal is. It's the Trump people scrambled to get reality gigs.
Yes,
and they're
going
to be, you know, the Conways will be will be the new, my mind is
the new Kardashians. Are you thinking of Kardashians?
Kardashians, or I was thinking, even going back further with the Osbournes.
Oh, you know? Yes, the Osbournes. That's another good example. I was thinking in terms of the show that Kimberly and I watch quite a bit, which is the show about the dwarves who have a pumpkin farm in Oregon. I swear to God, yeah. It's a show. Little People, Big World on the TLC network. We love that show. I've been watching that show for the last 10 or 12 years. That's how ensconced in that show
I'm a space nerd. I watch all the documentaries about which kind of rock is going to destroy the Earth next.
See, you're way better off than I am. That's like 1,000 steps up from where I am on the reality show viewing scale. We watch the show about the dwarves that have the pumpkin farm in Oregon.
Wow.
But here's what we're getting at here with Kellyanne Conway. Apparently, overnight, Kellyanne posted a fleet that happened to contain a topless photograph of her daughter, Claudia, who is only 16 years old. Reached for comment, a Twitter representative told Variety the company's teams are investigating the incident. Kellyanne Conway could not be reached for comment. As some of you know, there has been all kinds of headbutting inside the Conway household, where Claudia, the Conway's daughter, has just been going off about Kellyanne. Initially, you know, her employment with Donald Trump and all of the commensurate evil that goes along with that position. And then Claudia Conway was kind of in the middle of a battle between her dad, George Conway, who's part of the Lincoln Project, and her mom, Kellyanne Conway, who's a red hat Trumper. And so that kind of got the ball rolling. Lots of videos posted by Claudia about her mom, and some of them purporting to include some violence, some alleged physical abuse by Kellyanne Conway against her daughter, Claudia, captured on video. Now, this new development adds a whole new layer to the story, because not only would this be highly illegal, but it opens the possibility that Kellyanne Conway was hacked. That's also possible. But to just possess child porn on your phone is illegal, irrespective of whether Kellyanne Conway deliberately posted it on Twitter, or if it was an accident, or if it was a hacking or something. The photo was on her phone in the first place, which is bad, bad, bad. Very, very bad. According to screen captures posted by users on social media, Kellyanne Conway's account, Kellyanne Poles, shared an image of her topless teenage daughter using Twitter's recently launched Fleets feature, which deletes posts after a 24-hour period, similar to Instagram and Snapchat stories. The fleet was removed, but not before Twitter users documented it. So there are, of course, screen grabs all over the place, which is even worse for everybody involved. This is
How does she even have an account at this point?
Yeah, that's a good question. And she posted child porn is what she posted. I mean, let's make no bones about it. Irrespective of whether she was hacked, someone using her account posted that photograph inside the fleet, and that means that she at least possessed the photo. I mean, how else would she get it? I mean, it's also possible that Claudia got hold of her mom's phone somehow and did that, but that seems like a stretch too. In one of the TikTok videos, Claudia Conway said that nobody would ever have any photo like that ever, so Kellyanne, you're going to fucking jail. That's a daughter to her mother. That's how toxic this family has become.
Okay, Bob, that's fine. But you know, Joe Biden has a fancy watch.
That's right. Oh, holy shit. Don't get me started on that bullshit story. Oh, my God. Talk about the New York Times, like, stepping into its own propeller. So desperate to paint Joe Biden as being this elitist in contrast with Donald Trump, who was the everyman populist. You know, and it turns out that the Rolex watch that Joe Biden wore at the inauguration was his son's watch. Yeah. His dead son's watch. Nice job, New York Times. Nice attempt at trolling there. Jesus.
I never would have thought that the New York Times would just be at the bottom of my list of things I'd want to consume anymore. You know, they've just gotten so terrible the past 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus, if you want to follow what's going on over at the New York Times, too, make sure to subscribe to Eric Bollert's newsletter, Press Run. I think it's pressrun.substack.com, because he's been covering this the whole time. Obviously, I'm one of those people who actually appreciates some of New York Times reporting, because they've done some great work over the past, certainly over the past 4 years, covering the Trump administration. I mean, there are so many stories that broke in the New York Times about Trump's criminality and Trump
his
Russia,
taxes,
his taxes, and, all the rest of it. I mean, there are many, many things that we should give the New York Times plenty of credit for. But the problem is occasionally they do these things, you know, at least once or twice a week, that makes you scratch your head and go, what the fuck are they thinking? I mean, did anyone bother to check it out? Did anyone bother
I was firing the editor for, you know, praising Joe Biden and all that. And,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it just, it makes no goddamn sense.
She wasn't an editor, she was a reporter, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That said, yeah, okay.
So just a quick update on this. Variety posted this update on this article regarding Kellyanne Conway and Claudia Conway. It says here, as of 11:15 a.m. Eastern Time, in several TikTok videos posted Tuesday morning, Claudia Conway urged people to, quote, stop calling authorities, unquote. She said that she and her mother will be taking a break from social media and will work on their relationship. Claudia emphasized that making threats against her family also puts her in danger. She said, I know that my mom would never, ever post anything to hurt me like that intentionally, and I do believe she was hacked, Claudia Conway said in one of the TikTok videos Tuesday. Her father, conservative lawyer George Conway, also tweeted a link to one of the TikTok clips she posted, writing, quote, our daughter Claudia asked me to tweet this statement for her. Okay, I guess so. You know what it sounds like to me? I usually don't like to get into these family drama stories. It gets oogie for me. I don't know what it is. I feel oogie dealing with, you know, the intrigue that happens behind closed doors in someone's house. But this sounds to me, Mike, like maybe Claudia did this and is backpedaling a little bit. I mean, imagine the behavior of a 16-year-old kid. I mean, I remember distinctly when I was 16 years old. You try to get away with shit that you probably shouldn't be doing when you're 16. And it sounds like she's softening when it comes to her mom here. Which...
Yeah, maybe what happened was that the reality of the power that she held in her hands at that moment came back and, oh, my God, yeah, okay, yeah. I see now, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we know what Kellyanne Conway is. We know that she's the devil, that she's the mouth of Sauron. And the problem is, though, I don't see kiddie porn exposing her daughter's naked body to the public on Twitter. That seems like a big leap, even for a devil like Kellyanne Conway. And it's just, and again, I don't, everyone's going to scream at me because I'm defending Kellyanne Conway.
This is how twisted everything has gotten. I'm sitting here thinking maybe she did this to get thrown off of Twitter so then she could scream about being muzzled. You know?
That's also possible, too. I mean, these people are utterly shameless. So there's that, too. I'm not exclusively defending Kellyanne Conway. I have no fucking idea what really happened here. I'm just speculating in terms of what the possibilities might be. And I think one of the things that you have to consider is that doing something like this doesn't hurt or punish Kellyanne's daughter for the behavior that Kellyanne's daughter is dealing with. What it does is it's self-indicting. It's Kellyanne Conway throwing herself under the bus for some reason in a criminal way. I mean, this is, if they discover that she intentionally did this, I mean, that's criminal charges right there. And it's criminal charges, the very fact that she had something like that on her telephone in the first place is a big goddamn no-no. But that's the latest what's going on with the Conways.
Yeah, but we're not sitting here talking about Trump trying to overthrow the government.
Yeah, at least yet. But here we go. So the lock her up people are, of course, concerned about prosecuting someone who's not president anymore, not in any sort of official government power.
Isn't it amazing when they adopt a slogan? It's always just, this is why Skeeter exists, because they'll adopt a slogan and then it's just like, well, that's what Skeeter's going to say. And now the new slogan is private citizen. He's private citizen.
That's right. That's right. Well, this story about this plot that Donald Trump tried to engage in with this guy at the Justice Department, Jeffrey Clark. This is like everything you need to know about the Trump administration and Trump himself boiled down into one story. Everything you need to know about his deranged, twisted, deformed rationality when it comes to plotting these courses of action. I'm talking about Donald Trump here. Because the crazy thing about this DOJ story, those of you who don't know, Donald Trump plotted with this low-level DOJ guy named Jeffrey Clark to oust the acting attorney general. I think this was right before Christmas, I believe, was the timing. And then once the acting attorney general, Rosen, was removed, Trump would appoint this guy, Jeffrey Clark, as attorney general, and then Jeffrey Clark would then strong arm Georgia to decertify its election results.
Yeah, now that's the part I don't understand. Yeah. How does he go about doing that? You know, I mean, did they think this through?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they thought any of this through, because let's say that this actually works. So Jeffrey Clark, this nobody at Department of Justice, and Donald Trump successfully oust the acting attorney general, who only took over the post as of the 23rd of December after Bill Barr left. And so they decide, okay, great, we've got Jeffrey Clark, this nobody, as attorney general, and then he's going to something, 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 Georgia decertifies its election results. The something, something, something doesn't make any sense. I'm not aware of any power that the attorney general has that could wield over a state to the point where the state
back to states' rights. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they keep yammering on about states' rights. Well, this is one of their rights, is to run their elections.
Mm-hmm. So,
oh my God.
And even then, so let's say, Mike, that it was actually successful. Let's just say that they were able to accomplish this plot, Clark and Trump. Well, that only gets them Georgia. And it doesn't even get them Georgia, because
I've put this out there before, and people always come back with, well, they would get Georgia, and then that would make the other states rethink their things,
yeah,
and they'd recalculate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, oh God.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. It's just, again, it doesn't, getting Georgia's electoral votes back, this plan doesn't even involve that. It just involves eliminating the results from Georgia, which would either trigger another election in Georgia alone, I don't know what. It would just not report electoral votes. I don't know what the other part of the plan was.
What I don't understand, and I have not followed this story beyond sort of just reading the headlines, but the key to this all of this is how well documented is all this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
How many people can testify that this was in the works.
Mm-hmm. You know what this sounds like? You ever see that episode of Schitt's Creek where David tries to make a cedar box by just getting some planks out back, and then he takes some masking tape and makes a square on the carpet for some reason? Because he has no idea how to make a box using pieces of wood. And he's just winging it. That's what Donald Trump does. These plans are just, he's just winging it. He has no idea how these things are going to turn out. It was the same with the insurrection itself. Like, what's the calculus here? How do you achieve that end game? How do you remain president by engaging in insurrection against Congress? How does he make that leap? That connective tissue does not exist between insurrection and Congress. Yada, yada, yada. Now I'm still president. No, you're not thinking things through. And this is another example of the same thing.
And I've noticed the past couple of days that it seems that the press, the right-wing press, some of it, like the National Review, is kind of ahead of the game in terms of the way the wind's blowing on Trump.
Yeah.
And that the people that are the furthest behind in the game, of course, is the House.
Yeah.
You know, they're just going to go down with the ship with him. And
and
boy, I I'm seeing already people that are announcing their Democratic runs for the House and Senate that are just like, yeah, Let's do this. Yeah. Let's bring it on. I'm really sincerely hoping that for a lot of people, of course, this involves the American people having the attention span of longer than a gnat, which is, you know, not counting on that.
Right.
But I'm hoping that this sedition will be a way of getting more seats in the House. You know,
yeah.
It's got to be a bullet point for a lot of people because there are a lot of Republicans that are really pissed off about this because he's destroyed their party.
Yeah, exactly. So I always wonder, too, how much of a tale this story is going to have, the insurrection story. I mean, I get the sense that Donald Trump by himself is utterly fucked because of the insurrection. And thank God for it, because what's happening now is you take any of the individual other crimes that Donald Trump has perpetrated while president, and you say, well, are people going to give a shit about Trump Russia, or are people going to give a shit about money laundering? And you go, well, now that there's insurrection on the table, I think people are more inclined to believe that he did those other things as well. I think the insurrection actually puts the other crimes on the table again and makes them viable to prosecute. And that's a positive. That's a very, very, very positive thing. But here's some strange news. This was like mind-blowing last week when I saw the story. We talked about this a little bit on the after party on Friday, but it bears repeating here on the free show. You know, Donald Trump's lawyer, his impeachment lawyer, the guy who's going to represent Donald Trump on the floor of the Senate during the impeachment trial starting in February, is a guy by the name of Butch Bowers. This is crazy because I grew up with Butch Bowers. Butch Bowers lived across the street from me. He was the older brother of my best friend when I was 8 years old, about everywhere from 6 years old to about 9 years old. The Bowers family lived across the street. I was friends with Neil Bowers, who was the youngest of the three boys of the Bowers family. And I was over there all the time. I remember distinctly when I was 6 or 7 years old, I slept over at Neil's house. And well, I didn't actually sleep over there because I'm jumping ahead of myself. Butch had a whole collection, because Butch was older. He had a whole collection of record albums. And one of the albums was Queen's News of the World. And if you're familiar with that album cover, it's this giant robot with human eyeballs and a weird, disturbing face crushing and murdering the members of the band Queen. In his
that giant robot is a huge prop in the current Queen show.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. Well, at 6 years old, it scared the living hell out of me. I had never seen anything like that before. And so I got so upset by seeing that cover, that particular album cover, that I started crying and I had to go home. So, that was kind of one of my Butch Bowers stories. But I mean, we were good friends with their family. And I think my parents are still friends with Butch's parents. But it's just one of those strange things where I saw this name come up in the news. So, Trump's new lawyer for the impeachment is Butch. God, I know that guy. Oh, holy shit. And then I looked up his website for his law firm. I was like, oh my God, that's absolutely the Butch Bowers that I know. And
I'm sorry. All I can think about now is which album covers was I terrified of when I was a kid? Let me think. Dave Brubeck's Greatest Hits.
Oh, holy shit. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe some of those Sgt. Pepper cover or something.
Yeah. Some of those 1960s album covers are terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
At Home with Perry Como.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, Jesus. So here's the thing. I was asked on several occasions last week whether Butch was his real first name or is his real first name. And I replied, yes, it's his real first name insofar as Bob is my real first name. It's a nickname that his parents gave him when he was very, very young. So his actual...
Watched too many Munsters.
Yeah, that's right. But I also think that's why Donald Trump picked him, because he's got that name, you know, the name from Central Casting that...
Yeah,
but Trump seems to love so much.
It's down between Butch and Reginald.
Well, I'm just thinking like Donald Trump seeing the name going, oh yeah, she's going to butcher the Democrats. He's going to got to meet Cleaver. He's going to chop him up.
Butch name. Yeah, he's very strong, very strong.
Very strong, very powerful. Oh my God. So, yeah, and the other weird little thing, and this isn't necessarily an indictment of Butch himself, but I recall this too. When I was just a kid, hearing about this news was kind of disturbing. But Butch's dad, Carl Bowers, is a former federal highway administrator, worked in Washington, D.C. It was one of the reasons why they lived in our neighborhood for a period of time. But he was indicted, prosecuted, and convicted on charges of conspiracy, fraud, and embezzlement. He resigned his post in the Department of Transportation back in 1980. He was indicted by a federal grand jury, and he was charged with conspiring to illegally buy and sell seven federally financed houses in Hampton County, South Carolina. Bowers alone is charged in a or was charged in a 15-count indictment with conspiring to defraud the United States and submit false claims to the Department of Agriculture. That was Butch Bowers' dad. So, yeah, that was one of the things that I remember most, because I was like, it was maybe the first person I knew who went to prison. I was like, oh, my God, Mr. Bowers is going to jail? That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, and I have an odd childhood story that I don't know if I've shared this with you. Maybe I think I've told you about this.
Yeah.
But Jeff Hoyt, he does a lot of voice work for me, and he's on the album and everything, and he's an old college friend. I've known him since 1974. We worked at the college radio station back there in Stillwater, Oklahoma, back in those days, and we're solid friends, lifelong friends. And he lives on Vashon Island now in Puget Sound. Been there for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. And when he was growing up, he was in Connecticut, I believe, or Connecticut or Rhode Island, I believe Connecticut, as a kid. And he had his memory jogged recently when he realized that he and his big sister actually babysat Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson.
He was there. His folks were expats living in the neighborhood, and he was, you know, a couple of years younger than Jeff, and they would babysit him. So
that's crazy. You know what? I can perfectly imagine what Boris Johnson looked like as a kid. He looked like
he looks like that now.
Looks like exactly like it. Exactly like that, except miniaturized.
He looks like Pugsley. You
know? That's right. Oh, my God. So, yeah, lots more to talk about on this front, including an interesting observation by Matt Gaetz about the impeachment process that I want to talk about here. And Nikki Haley is jumping into all of it, too. Lots of whiny diaper baby action coming from the Republicans regarding impeachment. Why, oh, why are they coming after Donald Trump? He's not even president anymore. And then the Supreme Court says, oh, by the way, yeah, you can't indict someone while president, and you can't indict them after they're president either, which is just, at least when it comes to emoluments, this is insane.
When you get the Supreme Court that corrupt, we're in big trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, imagine this Valentine's Day story is you're parked outside the restaurant where you're meeting your date in 10 minutes. Glancing in the mirror, you cringe. Not on Valentine's Day. You can't go in with those bags under your eyes, not to mention crow's feet. You rummage through your purse saying, please tell me I have my Plexiderm with me. And bingo, there it is. You apply the clear serum under your eyes and smile confidently, knowing that in minutes you'll look fresh, bright-eyed, and years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just minutes. It's the Valentine's Day gift you give yourself. You can try a 6-day, 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, from Manchester, England, this is the great Elijah Bone, one of my favorites here on the show. Song called Running Man. This is one of their older tracks, but one they rolled out and sent to me because I think they knew that it would become one of my all-time favorite songs ever. I just love, love, love this song. I spent the entire weekend listening to this song on loop. It is ElijahBone.com, also ElijahBone.bandcamp.com. Oh, yeah. So good. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit. Thank you for doing that.
That's a really great late 60s feel to it. I like that.
Absolutely. We've got an indie music countdown coming up. The first one of 21 here. Is this? Yeah, it's the year 21. Why? Suddenly I blanked on what year it was. Holy shit. That's not a good sign. But our first indie music countdown comes up this Sunday, and we'll be playing all the songs from January. So there you go. Also, you can get that wherever you get your podcasts and BobSeska.com. Okay, getting back into it here. You mentioned at the top of the show, Kayleigh McEnany has signed on to work for Fox News Channel, and that's according to disclosures obtained by Citizens for Ethics, the crew people. And this is, oh my God, Kellyanne Conway, as many of you know, is... what did I say? Kellyanne Conway? They're all the same. They're basically, I get them confused because you see, Kayleigh is Kellyanne Conway before being hit in the face with Sith lightning. So if you, that's only for nerds. That's exclusively for Star Wars nerds, that joke. But yeah, so she's going to be at Fox News Channel, and I guess that is kind of a gray area because Fox News Channel isn't necessarily a respectable news outlet. So there's not a whole lot we can do to make sure that she doesn't work ever again if she's going to be going to Fox News Channel. If she ended up on CNN, I would be making a bigger stink about it on Twitter. I think a lot of us would. But the fact that she's going to Fox News Channel kind of dulls the impact a little bit. Like, oh, well, obviously. Yeah. I guess they're just hiring all the insurrectionists over at Fox News. But the one that really frightens and pisses me off, you know, this is sort of in the over my dead body category. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is running for governor of Arkansas. And this news is a pretty good justification to wheel out my brand new sound effect here on the show, Mike. I've got Nicolas Cage screaming fuck.
Fuck!
That's a 5-second fuck right there.
Sanders is the Arkansas voters Amazon page. You know, customers who bought Tom Cotton also might be interested in this.
And also her dad, her horrible dad was governor of Arkansas.
As horrible as her dad is, I don't think he's nearly as horrible as Tom Cotton.
No,
there's just no,
There's
and so that's the deal. That's the standard. If you got Tom Cotton, sure, why not?
That's right.
You know,
yeah. She's got her website up. It's the big banner headline is a new generation of leadership. Yes, please. We need more liars and insurrectionists in the
last
leadership.
Time I got on a plane was to go to Arkansas because an old radio friend of mine was having, you know, he's getting up there and we all wanted to get together for lunch. Mm-hmm. So I took my life into my own hands and got on a plane and flew out there. This was in September.
Yeah.
And while I was out there leaving the restaurant, here comes a caravan of trucks with the Trump flags.
Mm-hmm.
And I made sure I saluted every single one of them as they went by.
Sure you did.
That's where the Klan is. I mean, the Klan is headquartered in Harrison, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and they will, of course, be Sarah Huckabee Sanders' primary constituency. They will be Sarah Sanders' base. And, you know, she's, I'm sure, going to embrace that with all of her gusto because Sarah Sanders got out before the insurrection. That is true. But she, to me, is guilty by association. She was guilty of being there through all of the other fucking crimes that were engaged by that
Arkansas,
White House.
In Arkansas, that's a plus. So I'm just here to tell you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a bit of me that, Mike, I'm just trying to be a little bit optimistic. I mean, I'm trying to find, in honor of my friend Buzz Burbank, I'm trying to find the half full portion of the cup, which is often difficult for me, especially when it comes to red hats. But,
well, you know, it's funny. I mentioned Jeff Hoyt babysitting Boris Johnson. The other part of that team was Hoyt and Walker back in they actually had a production company in Little Rock. We all lived in Little Rock. I went there in 1976 to be part of this radio station there. And they ended up branching off from the radio station and starting a production company doing commercials. And Brent Walker was the other side of Hoyt and Walker. Well, Brent still lives there. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he says he's like he's as liberal as they come. He's like, he goes to church. He's a Lutheran, and he is way more liberal than I am even.
Yeah.
And he owns a studio there, a recording studio, where Al Franken did his show from that studio for a week when they were dedicating the presidential library for Clinton.
Oh, cool.
So there are people there, you know, who are totally hip to the idea that Cotton's a Nazi, and you know, so you know, there's that sprinkling of people everywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, God, yeah, as you kind of alluded to, I mean, Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas for a period of time there, and so there's got to be some normals in Arkansas. I just don't think there are many normals. I think the normals are way outnumbered. So I guess it all depends on when the primary rolls around whether there's still going to be this disgust with, you know, all the people associated with Donald Trump because of the insurrection, or whether they're just going to be, oh, I'll forget about it. And I know the Republicans right now, especially the congressional Republicans, are laying the groundwork for that. They're tenderizing the other Republicans, the about 10% of Republicans that broke away from Trump after the insurrection. And so they're kind of warming those people up to say, hey, you know what, let's just move on and forget about it. Let's forget about the whole thing. It's in the past. Why go over this shit? We want unity. And
by the way, Brent is Episcopalian. I said Lutheran. Just a slight.
How dare you?
I don't want people jumping down my throat.
So Matt Gaetz, with his giant head, said impeachment is the zenith of cancel culture. Well, trying to subvert and overturn an entire election, I think, is the zenith of cancel culture, as far as I'm concerned. But impeachment, Matt, is in the goddamn Constitution 4 times.
I like the guy who tweeted, you know, the gallows is the cancel culture.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and Rachel pointed out last night, those gallows were made out of 4x4s. They had stairs. They were a functioning gallows. This was not just symbolic thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and that needs to come out more in this impeachment trial. This needs to be... People need to understand these people were out to kill people.
Yes, absolutely. And one of them, I think, was threatening the life of AOC. I think one of them went in with the goal of killing a member of Congress, AOC. And I think another one was, I think this news came out today that there was another red hat insurrectionist who tried to gouge out the eyes of a Capitol Police officer. I think that was one of the bits of news that came out today. Just fucking horrible. And Matt Gaetz is right there, defending all of these people and making it seem as if, well, they were acting on their own. These were all Antifa infiltrators pretending to be Donald Trump supporters or whatever it is. But, you know, all you got to do is look back to October of 2019 to see the real motivation of people like Matt Gaetz, to see how connected they are to this insurrection in Congress, because Matt Gaetz and his colleagues in the Red Hat Fucknut Caucus in the House, they engaged in insurrection version 1.0. Do you remember this? In October 2019, they did that whole stunt where they stormed into that skiff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the early signs of the insurrection. That was the early example.
That's a really good point. That, you know, that set a precedent. It really did.
Yeah. I mean, when you see your leadership acting that way, and that's why so many of these guys said, well, you know, once they got to the Capitol and they're on video saying things like this, they're on, you know, on the record after the fact saying, oh, well, Donald Trump put us up to this. Donald Trump is coming. He's going to join us here. And he's told us to do these things. And then you combine that with the fact that members of the House of Representatives, Republicans, tried to do something similar with that skiff where they were doing this. This meeting, first of all, this presentation, this classified presentation in the skiff, they could have participated legally. There were no Republicans who were barred from it.
It was all for show.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they pretended storm it.
I want my nickname of Matt Gaetz, Moose Jaw, to catch on.
He's got an enormous head. And I don't know why Matt Gaetz is trying to popularize the zoot suit again, but he's doing it. It's this phenomenon that I've been observing since The Sopranos was on, where you get all these mayonnaise white guys who are pretending to be in the mafia. Donald Trump is one of the worst offenders when it comes to that.
It's a behavior pattern that is familiar with them, and that's just like slip into it.
Yeah, well, they think the sociopaths in the mafia are cool guys, and so they try to emulate that behavior. That's Donald Trump's whole thing, just co-opting the mafia. You know, you got to be loyal to me. It's all about loyalty. It's all about trust and loyalty, the circle of trust. Whatever that bullshit is, forget about it. You know, I don't know. It's immensely annoying to hear that.
Well, if the Republicans ever get tired of Trump, you better not go on the New Jersey Turnpike.
That's all. So Nikki Haley's probably another one who's going to run for president in 4 years. She is, said this. This is a remarkable thing for my. I think she was on the Laura Ingraham show on Fox News. She said, "I don't even think there's a basis for impeachment. Now they're going to turn around and bring about impeachment. Yet they say they're for unity." This is goddamn.
What has that got to do with anything? That's what, you know.
Yeah, and she said, I mean, at some point, give the man a break. I mean, move on. Give the man a break, she says. She's talking about Donald Trump here, the ringleader of an insurrection against Congress. I should say a violent insurrection against Congress. Yeah, we just give him a break. Hasn't he been through enough? You know, the guy who incited an insurrection in Congress. Are we being so mean? Why are we being so mean to him? This is madness.
Somebody brought up the wife beater analogy. It's like, honey, if we can just, you know, let's just not press charges this one time.
That's right.
And I'll take care of you, darling.
It's like the argument of an abusive husband is exactly what they're doing. They're exactly leaning on that. And I don't think they even know it. I don't think they even realize. And if they do realize it, they're okay with it. That's a perfectly valid excuse.
Well, whatever it is, I'd like to know who it is that starts all these catchphrases, because there's like one place that's all originates and it all disseminates to everybody at the same time.
Yeah.
And they all say the same thing. But there's got to be one place where it starts. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it just grows organically or whatever. But whatever it is, they come up with it like in 12 hours.
Yeah.
And then they keep saying it for months. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's what works. That's what works because people are fucking stupid.
Yep. I remember for the longest time, the RNC would send memos to Fox News Channel, and there have been documented instances where the copy being read on Fox News Channel purported to be original, you know, original opinion, original news reporting, even in some cases, are actually just the anchors reading verbatim the RNC press release. That has been completely documented. So I don't even know if that's still the process they're using, but there may be some other collective of Facebook groups or Twitter groups or something like that, private groups, where they're developing these ridiculous talking points to, you know, make sure everyone's on the same page. I have no idea what the process is now, but clearly you're exactly right. Where
it's,
you know,
the
word
Brando
is getting out.
Talking points company.
Yes, that's right. So, some more good news as far as Donald Trump goes, the ramifications of the insurrection. Trump Plaza in, I believe, Palm Beach has dropped the Trump name. People are who live in the condos there are rejoicing over that. It's all good news. And
we need to have like Trump property bingo where we can just see them fall one by one.
Yeah.
And so the one I want to see go is the one in Vegas.
Right.
I remember driving by there in 2016 on my way back from, it was the night before the election.
Mm-hmm.
And we had spent a few days in Zion and Grand Canyon National Parks photographing. And that was the point where we were sure Hillary was going to win.
Yeah.
And I remember driving by and seeing that Trump logo on the building there in Vegas and thinking, you know, that's just, I mean, it's just amazing that someone running for president has got these buildings everywhere with his name on it. And that was before all this shit happened.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's like, why would that, especially if you're leasing the name, you're not actually, it's not even Trump's building and they're just paying for the name, at what point do you take it down?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's got to be to the point where it's toxic, where no one will want to associate with the Trump name ever. Least of all places like, and fingers crossed, NBC, ABC, CBS, a lot of these networks, Bravo, anyone who would want to pick up another Donald Trump a reality show, anyone who would want to license the name, because that's the whole business model of the Trump organization, is licensing the Trump name, licensing the Trump brand, slapping it on something that already exists. And that's how the Trump organization makes its money. And so my sincere hope is that people will be so put off and disgusted by the Trump name that no one will want to do it anymore. So it's going to be a race.
Not so much put off, but just recognize that it doesn't make them money.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it takes.
Yeah. So what? I guess it's a race between the Trump organization going out of business organically, naturally, because everyone's disgusted with Donald Trump, or Letitia James in New York State is going to take down the Trump organization.
I mean, not to mention just the flat. This is the problem with it. Now it just hits me is that he's enormously in debt. He's got debts that are due coming up in any time now.
Yeah.
And he's just really cash strapped. So selling the Trump name has been how he's been making money.
Yeah.
So I would imagine he can't like put his name on more new buildings.
No.
If anything, it's going the other way.
Yeah.
So, but again, it's just money. I mean, and this is why McConnell and all these other guys are starting to a little bit turn on him, because the donors are so, you know, they're like, we're not going to have any part of this. This is,
oh yeah.
So it's the money, and it just, I'm really looking forward. You know, it's one thing to get him out of office, but I want to see those names come down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm even more harsh than you. I mean, I'm in the Cobra Kai mode of thinking when it comes to Donald Trump. Strike first, strike hard, no mercy. And one of the no mercy aspects of my view of what happens to Trump post presidency is pretty fucking harsh. I think what they should use is asset forfeiture. If Donald Trump is prosecuted federally, I think the federal government should use asset forfeiture, seize his properties, particularly Trump Tower in New York City and Mar-a-Lago in Florida. You level Trump Tower. I mean, you just tear it down piece by piece. You just knock it down. You could have a whole event where we all watch Donald Trump's Trump Tower come crashing down, and then you replace it with a COVID memorial. This is not a joke. I'm not making this up. This is my sincere opinion, that you make a 9/11 style memorial to the COVID victims on the block where Trump Tower was located. Likewise, you seize Mar-a-Lago and you do like they did with Arlington House, which became Arlington Cemetery. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, of course, the United States seized that property, which belonged to Robert E. Lee and the Lee family, the Custis Lee family.
The Custis Mansion.
Yeah, the Custis Mansion. And then they started burying Union soldiers right up to the edge of the actual house itself. And that eventually became Arlington National Cemetery. But the idea was, make sure no one lives here again. Make this property now unlivable. Make this house unlivable for Robert E. Lee and everyone else who joined him in the sedition against the United
Nest.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's just like Hitler's stuff. You know?
So, yeah. So people who can't afford burials for their family members who succumbed to COVID because of, in most cases, Donald Trump's ineptitude and irresponsibility, you give them free burial on the Mar-a-Lago property and turn that into a national cemetery for COVID victims. I think that's
interesting.
Fair. Yeah. You repeat what Abraham Lincoln did. I mean, wow, who's going to argue with Abraham Lincoln and what he did? And you add the extra level to all of this and the fact that Donald Trump incited an insurrection against the United States, a violent insurrection. So you have that extra component, that Confederacy-ish
maybe
component.
Bedminster should be Black Lives Matter International Golf Club.
That's perfect. Hey, yeah. Yeah. I'm absolutely serious. Fuck him and fuck everyone around him. He does not get to go back to a normal life after all of this. No. We do not take kindly to tyranny in the United States. And I think we would be doing us and our posterity a huge disservice if we go.
Well, you know, everything you're talking about is really only a matter of time.
Yeah.
It may take 20 years for us to wake up and realize what the fuck went on here.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, it'll be like the Confederate flag. Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of ways it'll be worse.
Yeah.
Because the Confederacy at least had the excuse of like, well, we're going to start our own country, and this is what we want to do, and screw you. But that wasn't a direct attack on the United States.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't a direct attack on our Constitution. Mm-hmm. It was just like, well, we're going to go off and do our own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was sedition. It was treason. But it wasn't going into the Capitol and, you know, trying to ruin our democracy.
I think we're going to learn all kinds of new things during this impeachment trial. And certainly last night on the Rachel Maddow show, Chuck Schumer left the door open to a criminal prosecution for Trump. And if that happens, I think we're going to learn a lot more about his direct involvement. We already have people like Alex Jones on record saying that he coordinated with Donald Trump as far as leading the mob from Freedom Plaza to or wherever they were, the Ellipse. I think that's where it was, one of those two places. And
it was the Ellipse is where it started. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it was Alex Jones. And again, you take it with a grain of salt because it's Alex Jones. But I don't think he was embellishing this. He was saying that the White House instructed him to do X, Y, and Z to get the mob from the Ellipse down to the Capitol. So in that regard, there was White House coordination, even without Donald Trump standing up in front of the entire crowd and saying, I'm coming with you. We're all going to march down to the Capitol and we need to use strength to take this country back. That, which is exactly what he said.
You throw on top of that the National Guard stand down,
yeah,
which is fairly well documented now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, plus we have the extra dimension of Mike Flynn's brother, Charlie, who was on that fucking conference call at the Pentagon.
Let me play a devil's advocate on that. Okay. Because someone has pointed out to me, and maybe this is a troll, I don't know, but there is specifically... as far as the federal government goes, there's some sort of rule that nobody in the federal armed forces can call up the National Guard, that it's
right.
It's a jurisdiction thing. And so this Mike Flynn's brother thing, I'm not so sure it's as powerful as we're making it out to be. Now, that could be my own ignorance, but my sense of it is that he might have actually had a legitimate reason to say, no, we can't respond to this.
Yeah.
That it has to be this authority that does that.
Well, and again, I don't know how much he actually participated in the call. At least according to the latest report from the Washington Post, he left halfway through the conference call. And so I don't know the extent of his participation, but I do know that the Pentagon actually covered it up. The Pentagon said on many occasions to several different press outlets.
That part definitely needs to be investigated. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they have it on record of Pentagon officials saying to the press, in all, like one guy in all caps saying, he was not in this meeting in any way, shape, or form. So in that regard, there was something kinky there. Like, why would the Pentagon cover this up? But at the same time, yeah, as far as the jurisdiction goes, speaking to what you were just saying, I'm fairly certain that the president has jurisdiction over the D.C. National Guard. But the president traditionally defers to the Pentagon in terms of the deployment of the D.C. National Guard. So the president doesn't usually say, okay, we're going to call up the D.C. National Guard to do X, Y, and Z. It's usually the Pentagon that engages in that. And I think that was why the call was taking place between whoever was, maybe the Capitol Police and the Pentagon.
You know, I don't know what I was talking about. I was playing that Chris Lavoie role of devil's advocate.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Totally, yeah, totally fucking annoys Stephanie every time he does that.
Oh, yeah.
That was what I was trying to do.
There's one other thing I want to talk about here with regard to Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer. We're going to do that right after these words, back after this.
Isier, that is A-I-S-I-E-R. What is it? Luxurious modern sleepwear for the independent woman. Their sleepwear is made from 100% washable silk. Oh, silk is known to reduce skin surface moisture loss and limit skin irritation. Best of all, it's comfortable, so lightweight, it feels like a second skin. It'll keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer with a fabric that loves your skin all year round. And in every type of weather, wearing silk to sleep is simply therapy at night. Izier is owned by an amazing woman, a single mom. Their products are made right here in California. You can feel good about supporting a small business delivering high-quality products. Now is the perfect time. Treat yourself or a loved one to something extra special to sleep and lounge in during Izier's Valentine's sale. Go to shopizier.com/discount/Stephanie. Use the discount code Stephanie, 10% off your order. That's shopizier.com/discount/Stephanie. Use that code Stephanie for 10% off your order.
Bob Seska.
Today, you know that day is coming gone, and you never get it back. So why not sing a different song? It's a brand new day, it's coming your way. Forget about yesterday. Let's think about tomorrow.
That's the great Renee Trostman live. It's a live song right here, called Brand New Day, recorded live in Prague at the Jazz Dock Club. I've been there many times. I spend every Friday night there. Kidding, I'm making that up. It's in Prague, for God's sake. ReneeTrossman.com.
Yeah. When you're in Prague, do you say, check, please?
Did a little rim shot there in the middle of the song. Okay. ReneeTrossman.com, Prague. You know, by the way, you mentioned the Czech Republic. It is actually, I think it's Ceska or Ceska is how they pronounce it there. It's one or the other. I saw it.
That's how Alexa says it.
Okay. So.
I'll prove it to you right now.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Echo, play the Bob Ceska Show.
Here's the Bob Ceska Show from Amazon Music.
Hey!
Resuming from where you left off. To listen to the newest episode, ask me to play the latest episode.
Okay. Actually,
hey, there you go.
Echo,
that's
stop.
The Alexa knows exactly how to pronounce my name in the traditional Italian pronunciation. I don't use that pronunciation, but it's actually the proper one. And, the backstory briefly is that my family, when they immigrated here, my grandparents, my grandfather decided we're just going to go with Ceska because it's easier for them to spell if you just say it's Ceska. But I always have trouble getting people to spell my name correct. Whenever I say Ceska and someone's got to write that down, they inevitably start with the letter S. It's usually S-E-S-K-A. I got to stop them halfway through. Okay, so getting back into things here. Oh, yeah. Mitch McConnell caved on this power sharing thing in the Senate where McConnell and Schumer were going to share power equally in the Senate because it's a 50-50 divide. And it turns out that McConnell has now caved and backed down. But that's only because Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema chickened out of voting to eliminate the filibuster. That news came down, and so Mitch McConnell was like, well, I don't need a fight here anymore, or whatever Mitch McConnell sounds like. But I guess he heard that Manchin and Sinema are like a big no vote for eliminating the filibuster. So he thought, okay, well, I don't need to share power now because they're not going to eliminate the filibuster.
Yeah, he had nothing to lose. Yeah. This just in, Bob, Biden has signed the executive order directing the Justice Department not to renew contracts with private prisons.
Hey, wonderful news. Hey, that's incredible
news.
Every
time you turn around, it's great.
Anyone who's ever watched Orange is the New Black knows how fucking sinister the prison industrial complex is and how just utterly terrible and mismanaged and abusive and, I mean, bordering on, like, crimes against humanity. I mean, it's really just fucking awful. Prison for profit should never be a thing in this country. And
no.
Yeah.
And you know, what's even worse about it is the just way too handy relationship the private prisons have with a lot of judges.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, and we've had documented cases of that where judges are paid under the table to send more people to prison so that the prison for profit corporations can collect money on those prisoners because they get paid by the government per prisoner. But speaking of legal trouble, Rudy Giuliani is being sued for $1.3 billion in damages by Dominion Voting Systems. Yeah, that's a guy who does his own hair dyeing. I doubt he's got $1.3 billion in damages. My guess is they will settle for a much lesser amount, but still, like, line them up. Line up all these people. And apparently Donald Trump is next on the Dominion Voting Systems hit list.
I think Seth Meyers pointed out that they think they can get the money out of Rudy eventually because he's Nosferatu and he'll never die.
So if you take long enough, if you hold on long enough, he'll eventually accumulate the money. By 2055, Rudy Giuliani may be solvent enough to pay off the lawsuit debt.
Best wishes, Buzz.
Yes, best of luck to my good friend Buzz Burbank and everything he's going through. I'm not sure when he's going to be back yet. He said February, so we're going to look at February. Meanwhile, thank you so much, Mike, for sitting in for Buzz.
Absolutely. I'm the Smothers Brothers to your Glenn Campbell, or the other way around. I don't know.
I'll have to look that one up to see what the actual meaning of that was.
Summer replacement series.
That's right. Well, when this music is done playing, we keep on talking. That is called the Postmortem Show. We post that on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Ceska Show. And because I'm apparently not writing for Salon anymore, I'm just going to assume that's the case. Maybe go over to our Patreon page, sign up for like $5 a month, $5 a month. You won't even notice that leaving your checking account. Plus you get two postmortem shows every week. As I said, after
Salon
this
said, fuck him.
Yeah, that's right. And then I said, that was me. Salon. Thanks, Salon. Okay, so make sure to go sign up on our Patreon page and make up for the fact that I'm writing for Salon, at least for now. Again, I have no idea what's happening. Okay, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow or quite simply BobSeskaShow.com. You can also click the all caps Patreon link beneath the brand new logo at BobSeska.com. Thanks for doing that. Meanwhile, Rocky Mountain Mike can be found on Twitter at RockyMNTNMike. Again, Rocky Mountain Mike, just search for him by name. Also, you can find him on his YouTube channel and his Bandcamp page.
And Instagram.
Instagram, too. There you go. Rocky_Mountain_Mike. Take care, folks. Bye-bye. Imagine this Valentine's Day story is you. You're parked outside the restaurant where you're meeting your date in 10 minutes. Glancing in the mirror, you cringe. Not on Valentine's Day. You can't go in with those bags under your eyes, not to mention crow's feet. You rummage through your purse saying, please tell me I have my Plexiderm with me. And bingo, there it is. You apply the clear serum under your eyes and smile confidently, knowing that in minutes you'll look fresh, bright-eyed, and years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just minutes. It's the Valentine's Day gift you give yourself. You can try a 6-day, 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com or call 800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.